You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
And Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7, as well as on the World Wide Web.
That's right.
All over God's magnificent planet. We are going to have a wonderful show today, Miss Ellen.
We are. We're good. Let me text this back and at the same time tell our listeners they can listen in on 1510wwbc.com. They hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. And then, of course, there we archive all of the shows under the on demand button. Each and every Monday, we're here 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can pick by date. We got quite a few dates on there, so you can pick any one. And then, of course, we share all of that on our social media, which includes pictures and all of the bios for the folks that are there and on SitaMediaInc.com.
That's right. There's a reason why we say our show is fun, unscripted, educational, and quite informative, Miss Ellen. There's a reason why. And I tell you what, today's show is no different. I'm telling you, this is fun trying to play telephone tag. So, you know, for people who are first tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, for the first time, we'd like to tell you a little bit about our show, a little tidbit about our show. So we've been on air for close to 15 years here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and we started in a little studio right down the road on Pluckybum Road, where we started with a half an hour show, and we quickly went from a half an hour to an hour every Monday. And it seems as though Viewpoint with Sita and Friends has become like a fixture in Ellen O'Neill's life and my life because we've been together for so long. Mm-hmm. And Allie joined us later. She's a friend of Ellen that comes by and sits with us and enjoy our shows. And so we talk to people who want to talk about anything under the planet, but they do have to understand that freedom of speech comes with a choice. Right,
and a responsibility,
and a choice, and a responsibility. Well, you have to have the choice. You have to have a choice because you just can't sprout off on our show whatever you want to say, right? And so, we talk to people who want to talk about financial literacy, people who want to open a business, people who own a business. We speak with teachers, lawyers, doctors, scientists, advocates for clean air, water, sunshine, whatever it is. If you have a plan to make God's magnificent planet a better place than we found it, like we say, leave a good footprint behind, then of course, this is the show for you. It's Fair and Balanced.
Yeah.
And today is no different. Our good friend Jennifer Barton is here. And Jen, you know what? You look great as usual. Jen is here. She's going to be chatting with us on the second segment. She is the owner of Seniors Helping Seniors right here in Brevard County, Florida. And Jen has branched out and she's opened a nonprofit, and she's going to talk to our listeners a little bit about the services offered at Seniors Helping Seniors and give us some success stories. And as we know, everyone wants to age in place, and Jen is an expert in that. So welcome.
Thank you.
That's the voice of Jen, and she'll be on second. Our first segment, Ellen, I know you're going to love this because you like anything that with video games and podcasts and things like that, social media stuff. And so, you know, I went to see the movie Superman, as everybody knows, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I could see it again. And it's all about good over evil and the good guy winning and helping the unfortunate ones. And so I joined a Facebook page, Life Superman, and there was a gentleman on that Facebook page. And so I read one of his comments and I said, you know, you'd be perfect to call in on my radio show. His name is Patrick Scott Patterson, and there's an author by the name of Patterson as well. And he's a longtime media personality, who is now hosting his self-named podcast, The Patrick Scott Patterson Project. And it's all about the same things we talk about, except it's from a manly point of view. He is talking about chasing goals and doing great things right here in the United States and elsewhere. And he's so positive. I don't know if you got a chance to see his Facebook page, but I loved it. So I think he's on the phone, and I most believe he's calling in from Texas. So, Mr. Patterson, good afternoon, and welcome to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, you said you had to set your timer. So am I assuming correctly that you are in Texas?
Yeah, and it's a Monday. You know, I run a business during the day, and Mondays are the kind of the manic day a little bit. So, yeah, I definitely didn't want to lose track of time. I can easily do that and try to find that balance. And so, yeah, you're in a different time zone, but we got it done. Here I am.
Well, we're grateful that you're taking the time off. Man, you do a lot of stuff. You do arcade work with the video games. You have your podcast. You run your business. Talk to our listeners a little bit about yourself and what all the things you do in life on God's magnificent planet.
Well, basically, I've always been a guy who wears his passions on his sleeve. And, growing up, didn't always meet people who kind of understood or encouraged that, but it didn't change me. As I grew into an adult, basically all those passions became professions, sometimes by design, sometimes not. And so that's what I do these days. During the day, I run a business that repairs vintage arcade video games, because that was always something I loved doing. And that was something I was doing as a hobby before it became a business. And then, yeah, I'm hosting my podcast, The Patrick Scott Patterson Project, with whatever other time I can manage to give to it. And because, it's all about, chasing goals and putting yourself out there and following the paths that open up along the way as you do. Because I think if anything, right now in this day and age, there's not enough content that I think inspires people, or at least in my case, I aim to inspire people with it. And so I can sit here and hope that some more people start doing that, or I can create some of it myself.
Yeah. Well, talk about a guy taking his passion and turning it into a profit. That's wonderful. Because, as we age, a lot of us have life experience, and we want to share that experience with certain people. And some people go silent. They won't do it. And others, they share their experiences. And that's exactly what you're doing.
It is what I aim to do. It is a little self-therapy, I guess, in a way. I learned at an early age that I feel better when I talk to people about things or write things out. And it turns out, through social media that, I can there, and not just can I feel better or get something out of my own system, but somewhere out there, there's always somebody who can relate with that, or maybe it can make what they're going through seem a little bit better, or they can just think about it from a different perspective. So I keep doing it.
Yeah. And I think what you are doing with the podcast, there are so many men who are out there, because, we have a lot of podcasts with women, and, we talk about women stuff, right? Issues. But the men, we don't have enough men doing podcasts. And what you're talking about with the video games and wrestling and some of the oldies, I saw you just posted that Lonnie Anderson passed away. It does bring people back to that point in time in life when I want to say we were a little bit happier and carefree. And you make, I think, a lot of people who are experiencing loneliness and depression and wanting that era back, listening to podcasts such as yours that's drama free is positive, and it's good for us.
Well, I often describe myself as a pop culture junkie, and I stutter a little bit because this is getting a little close to the heart, but I'll talk about this. So, I grew up, I'm about to turn 50, probably like 8 or 9, 10 weeks, something like that. It's all a blur at this point. I can't believe July came and went in about 24 hours, it felt like, right? But I grew up as an only child to a couple of parents who all they really ever did was fight and argue. And I'm not knocking my parents when I say that. I mean, I always did have plenty of food to eat. I always had a roof over my head. We had all those things. They worked hard enough to provide, but they did not get along. They argued and argued and argued every night. So my solace, or since you brought up Superman, or that's what brought us together in our little chain of fates here, my own little fortress of solitude, if you would, would be to sequester myself in my room. And I had my TV, and I had video games, and I had toys, and I had magazines and books. I was a big magazine junkie. So I would get through by, you know, watching TV shows and movies and playing games and getting in these imaginary worlds and latching on to other people who inspired and entertained me. That's something that entertainment can do for people and always has been able to do for people. And there's so much content out there now, both professional stuff done by TV and movie studios and a lot of podcasts and stuff. But so much of it has become dark and gritty or based on, you know, manufactured drama or dividing people and pitting people against each other. To the point where there's so much of that in society right now that I don't think entertainment is providing enough of an escape from that. And so again, that my show can do that. A little shout out, you know, my show exists partially in inspiration to somebody who's always inspired me, which would be Drew Barrymore. The Drew Barrymore Show is proving every year that positive content, there is a need for positive content.
That's right. And you know, when you speak up, it encourages other people to speak up as well. I think it does. And so talk to our listeners a little bit about what kind of impact would you like to have on this world when God finally takes you home? Because I know my impact is I want to leave the world a better place than I found it. I just feel like there's so much negativity and envy and hate and jealousy. And you want to say to people, you know, at the end of the day, we're all one race, a human race. We all bleed the same red. So we have to have something in common. And I think it's to strive towards a better world.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I've seen people who passed away in recent years. You know, I'm at that age where, you know, there's people I've encountered in life and I've seen them move on. And I've seen ones that were positive and I've seen ones that were negative people. And so you learn real quick what kind of impression they left with people in this world. And I'm not going to sit here and get on my soapbox and claim that I've always worn a white hat, so to speak. I've tended in my younger days sometimes to mix it up with people too a little bit. But I can't do that. I don't want people to, when they hear my name, whether I'm, you know, while I'm still here or after I'm gone, I don't want people to associate that with that sort of thing. Because who wants that? You know, I've been, I don't want to say necessarily blessed or lucky enough, to a point I am, but everything that I've done as far as chasing goals, crossing things off the old bucket list or whatever you want to put it out there, I work towards those things. I made a deliberate effort to say, I'm going to go do this. I want to do this someday. I'm going to do that someday. Oh, I'm interested in this. Let me go try this. I want to be the guy who encourages other people to do that sort of thing for themselves, because everybody's got something that they want to do, or maybe they feel like they need to do, or maybe they know there's something they want to do, but they don't know what it is yet, and they're seeking that. And I'm hoping that through my content, and especially through the podcast and telling the stories of my guests that have done that sort of thing, whether it be them overcoming obstacles to do those types of things or taking a leap of faith and that sort of thing, I want to be the guy who, when my time comes up, which is hopefully a very, very long time from now.
Yeah,
I want to be the guy that people sit there and say, you know, I went and did this thing for myself and I took a shot at that because of me, because something that either I did or said resonated with them and got them to go do that for themselves.
Well, you know, we live in a world of when negativity is prevalent. We live in a world where people are afraid to speak up and say the truth. Some people just cower with fear to say the truth. And oftentimes, even your own family members, if you have an idea for something, a passion for something, they won't encourage you. So sometimes it is that stranger, that strange voice, that person that you saw on TV, like in Superman or somebody like yourself who said something and somebody says, you know what? I believe in myself. I am my own best friend and I'm going to do this. And I think that's what your podcast is doing.
That is what my podcast aims to do, because I never got that much from my own parents. Again, you know, they did not have a good relationship with each other and therefore did not have good relationships with themselves. And that I never really got that encouragement. I often would be discouraged when I would bring up things I wanted to do, which as an adult, I went on and did all those things anyway. But the first person that changed me with that was actually a school teacher in middle school who encouraged me to do something. In fact, she wouldn't let me not try at something and because she knew that I could do it. The only person I needed to convince was not her, was the person I needed to convince was myself.
That's right.
And that resonated with me throughout my entire life. And so, you know, if I can help that, you know, that's my goal. I'm not going to be the guy that sits here and says, oh, I'm totally doing this for people. I don't know if I am or not. I think I am. I hope I am. I aim to, because I think that everybody is happier when they're going after a goal or they're going after something that makes them whole or gives them joy or whatever in life.
Right. And it is a sense of responsibility and fulfillment when you go after your goals.
And I remember, you know? This is Ellen, I'm the co-host with Sita, and I remember going to an event with Tony Robbins and him saying, the only thing stopping you from getting everything you want in life is the story that you tell yourself of why you can't have it or why you can have it. And I love the part about your bio of how you really, and you talk about how you put yourself in situations that parlayed into other situations, much like your NBC Universal experience that you had. And then it parlayed into all of these things. And I'd like you to talk a little bit about that attitude when you go in. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I want this or I want that, but they don't put themselves in a position to be able to maybe easily clear the path for you to get to that next thing. They make all these excuses of why they can't. And you have that light. Your resume really speaks to the fact that you really put yourself in situations that create an opportunity for the next thing and the next thing, even though you might not know what the next thing is.
Yeah, or you're setting a goal for yourself that you have no idea how you're going to get there.
Right.
But if you're not doing anything, you're not going to get any closer to any of those goals. One of the biggest things it gets with me is, well, two things. There's two words out there that you'll hear a lot that to me are myths. One is the idea of perfection. Perfection does not exist. Nothing will ever be the perfect time. No amount of content will ever be perfect. Perfect is subjective. It is opinion-based. If you're waiting for the perfect time or the perfect product or whatever, you're chasing something that doesn't exist. You've got to just go ahead at some point and put out what you got. The other thing is that the concept of failure does not exist. That is something that I try to sit here and look at it. So maybe you set an objective for yourself. You set a goal for yourself. You want to do this thing. And maybe you go and you give it a shot and you don't reach the objective. Maybe you get turned down. Maybe you get a no. Maybe you get a shot and it doesn't go the way you want it to go. You still didn't fail because you learned something from that experience. You gained knowledge that you didn't have before from that experience. So maybe, you know, like I've had a lot of TV shows that I've tried to sell over the years that didn't get sold. They didn't get made. Did I fail? No, because I learned things from those. I learned things from those experiences that, and in real time, didn't realize it, but that experience and knowledge benefited me the next time something came along. Sometimes even if it had nothing to do with that actual goal, there's still something I took away from that. So
well, you know,
really,
Scott,
you cannot lose. You gain by
that's
trying.
Right.
You've just got to go out and try.
You remind me, I have an aunt that always says, you live each day one day at a time, right? And you learn something new every single day. As you know, I'm a long-term care nurse. I'm an author. I hate when we're here on the radio show as well. And, you know, sometimes I also ran for office and I got involved in a lot of socioeconomic things and I watched how people, you know, lack of resources, not a good foundation at home, pretty much like what you were saying about yourself as well. And you evolve and you learn from other people. But one of the things I do believe in is that everybody deserves a second chance, especially if they're willing to go the extra mile and evolve and learn from their past and their mistakes and their life experiences. As you do your podcast, do you see that there's a lot of people that have learned from their past and are willing to go forward in their future and make the future better for themselves?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Every guest that I've had on so far, I mean, of course, I've recorded, I have more episodes already pre-recorded than I've even run yet, because I got way ahead of this thing, right? Every one of the stories does have a common thread with that. You know, they went out there and they tried things, and maybe they didn't get there the first time or even the 50th time or even the 500th time, but they still got there. Other ones, there was the one with Brian Cuban, which is Mark Cuban's brother, which was the most recent episode that I ran, where he struggled with depression and body dysmorphia and addiction problems. And he still managed to battle back and become a published author. He has sold the movie rights to one of his books now, he announced on the show. He's a motivational speaker. He managed to overcome anyway. He learned and evolved and fought. He didn't just accept a lot in life. He fought. And I've always looked at that. If you were to have met me 10 years ago or even 10 months ago, I'm not the same person right now that I was at any of those marks in time. And I think that everybody should strive to do that, because I think that if you're the same person right now that you were in the past, then you need to maybe self-reflect and learn and try to evolve. I think everybody should strive to be a better version of themselves every single day.
Yeah. And, you know, while we were reading your bio, we noticed that you have a lot of things in common with a few of us here in the studio. Number one, first to begin with, I want you to tell my friend Ellen and Allie and our wonderful guest a little bit about your take on the Superman movie.
Well, I always loved Superman, and kind of his most base. Because it's one of the first things that I thought of when I was a kid. I mean, obviously there's the wonderment of it. You know, here's this guy, he can fly and shoot lasers out of his eyes and throw cars or whatever, right? But here's a guy who literally has, he's God. He's not from here. He wasn't even born on this planet. He has the power to quite literally conquer or even destroy humanity. But he chooses to use his gifts to help humanity, to better the world around him. He doesn't have to. He chooses to. And I think that is what appealed most to me about it, because people can be, and in my opinion should be, that same way. But even the media kind of over the years, you know, even Superman ended up getting kind of dark and gritty and angsty, right? You know, I didn't dislike, let's say, the Man of Steel film, but to me, that wasn't Superman as Superman should be. And I think this movie, this current one by James Gunn, restored that. Superman still has this hope, almost this audacity to be hopeful in a world that is not anymore, that is very cynical and what have you. And I mean, the movie even addresses that, you know, the people around him, even Lois Lane is like, why are you like this? But it's the only way that he can be. And that's what really resonated with me about it, because I think we need more people in this real world of ours who have that same outlook and philosophy of it.
Well, for me, the takeaway was when I saw it and I absolutely loved it and I joined the group. Jennifer hasn't seen it yet, so maybe Jennifer will see it. But I in today's climate, where people are so afraid of aliens, resident aliens, where people are so afraid of immigration reform, people are so afraid of speaking about, you know, adoption or things like that, Superman comes along and he's adopted and he's from a different planet and he's working and paying his fair share of taxes and he's helping the social structure And then he finds out there's a country that's been attacked by weapons of war and mass destruction. And I don't know, I sat there and I felt as though he was speaking to us through some divine intervention that all of us need to speak up for the downtrodden and the poor and the people who don't have a voice. And some of us are blessed with a voice. And I feel like we should use it in a responsible manner. And that's what I felt when I saw Superman. I'm like, you are speaking to millions of us all over God's magnificent planet through James Gunn. And what a handsome Superman that is, too. Oh, I forgot his name. He's so handsome. But did you feel like he had every single socioeconomic issues wrapped up in that one movie in order for us to say the good prevailed over evil?
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's always existed in Superman, you know, again, at his most base, the pure Superman, the way Superman, you know, was originally presented has always been about that to some degree or another. I think it's a case of perfect timing. I think because I haven't just gone on my social media and talked about this sort of thing before. And sometimes when I do it, the post didn't really get picked up or read by many people. Then Superman comes out and I tie it in with what I saw in Superman and other types of positive content like Ted Lasso, like the Drew Barrymore show, stuff like that. And this time when I talked about it, the post really caught on and it got a lot of other people to come along who feel the same
way.
Yeah,
you were amazing. I read it and I'm like, that's my guy. I'm going to reach out to this guy. But
I think the timing was perfect. I think it's what the world needs right now and has needed right now to help at least give us some balance between the news and, you know, our hopes for tomorrow and what, you know, everybody and what humanity can be.
Yeah. And, you know, I as I read your bio, you were also a former senior columnist for NBC Universal. You were a writer for the Bleacher Report. And you did a lot of content creating for films as well. So if you don't mind, give our listeners the website, how they could listen to your podcast or maybe, however they can listen to it and give us how we could contact you.
Well, there is my main website, which is just my name, patrickscottpatterson.com. It has the short version. I can be a little long-winded. It has the short version of a lot of my adventures mentioned on there, and I'm always happy to talk with people. They want to deep dive a little bit more. And then my podcast, The Patrick Scott Patterson Project, it's available on Spotify, YouTube, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and pretty much any other type of major podcast platform. It runs every other week. There's a new episode coming out this Wednesday, which I think is a neat story about duality with my old friend Warren Davis. He was the programmer of the classic Q-Bert arcade game, but also a quite accomplished actor and magician and all kinds of other things. And We talk about how he was chasing multiple goals at once without anybody on one side even knowing what he was doing on the other side. And I think it's a neat story about that. So I hope people can get something from it. I think it's definitely a unique story.
Well, you know, when my son was 13, I bought him a little pinball machine. And I saw you had posted something about a pinball machine on your Facebook. And boy, it reminded me of my son being so upset, being 13, and I got him that for Christmas from Radio Shack back in the day. And I said, "Well, Mikey, I put all the money into your college plan, and I don't have any money, but I'm just buying this for Christmas." I said, "We're not even Christians; we're just celebrating Christmas with everybody else." And when I saw your pinball machine, the Dolly Parton one, I'm like, "Oh God, I'm going to send this for my son and let him know that this guy with a pinball machine is calling in on my show today." But, you know, a lot of what you say on your social media there about being positive, I don't know how many people's hearts and minds you change on a daily basis, but you certainly change ours. And I think Ali wants to jump in here really quick before we go off air.
I have the last most silly question that you could even think of. I'm an old-time pinball wizard, and... do you have Gore-Gar?
I don't. I actually been called out to fix one for someone in a while.
Have
but what
you?
An amazing machine.
Oh, it
what
was my favorite
machine that was. Yeah, just it was so innovative. The art was beautiful.
Yes.
The sounds are beautiful.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
Now you got me kind of jonesing to go find it.
Oh, yeah,
now you know. Now then you could call back. Then you could call back and tell us
that's
when you
right.
found it. So Mr. Scott, before you leave, where for our audience who listeners who are tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, we're speaking with Patrick Scott Patterson. And he's a longtime media personality who's now hosting his own podcast that carries his name. Where do you get most of your guests for your show?
A lot of these guests are people who I encountered along the way when I have done other adventures, or sometimes they are friends of those people that I met along the way. I mean, again, like I talk about following the paths that open up along the way. In real time, going back 10, 15, I mean, I'm talking to Warren Davis, you know, or talk to him for the episode that drops this Wednesday. I met him online 27 years ago. And we talk about how in the episode, in real time, I would have had no idea that in 2025, I would be doing a show where I talk to him. But here we are, you know, and it's a kind of a great example of that. It's just, it's kind of a, in a way, kind of a love letter to the adventures that I've had by talking to people that I've encountered along the way or that I'm connected to through those encounters and through those adventures. And who knows what where the adventure goes from here, but I'm looking forward to seeing what it is.
Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, Mr. Patrick Scott Patterson. I tell you, your name, I don't know why every time I say it, I think about that guy, Scott Peterson.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, my gosh. I'm
oh,
like,
no,
oh,
no.
You're making my tongue get tongue-tied, you know, then I think about Lacey. But anyways, that's why our show is fun. That's why our show is fun and unscripted.
Story there, yeah.
That's a story there for you, right? Anyways, Ellen, take it away.
Thanks again for calling in, and we'll make sure that all of your information as well as your podcast is available for all of our listeners to listen to as well. And we're going to take a quick minute and listen to our sponsors, and we'll be right back right after these messages with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud9. Mattress and Furniture. Located in Titusville Financial Group is a certified public accountant.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in Cocoa, Florida. We're heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online every single place, Miss Ellen.
That's right, 1510, WWBC.com. You can hit that Listen Live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, there we also archive the shows under the On Demand button. And that's each and every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And then, of course, we share it on all of our social media and our website, which is SitaMediaInc.com.
Yeah, and what a wonderful Monday. I feel, I don't know why, today just feels so light. I feel great.
It's August.
It's a
new month.
You think, well, Christmas is coming.
It could be.
I started
thinking,
we're
closer to Christmas than we've ever been.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to call, you know, the gal that helps me put up my Christmas trees and... start lining up to get in her schedule to get my house decorated. I love Christmas.
I know you do.
Anyways,
I know you do.
I love every holiday. I just live life. I'm vacationing on God's magnificent planet every single day. So our second segment is with my friend Jennifer Barton. And Jennifer has not seen Superman yet, so maybe she'll come see it.
Well, she feels like Superman now. Every day,
she
I'm
does.
Sure.
She's Superwoman.
That's right.
And she's the owner of Seniors Helping Seniors right here in Brevard County, Florida, which has been operating since 2012. She provides a home for our seniors and mentors them and helps them with so many issues. So welcome to our show.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you
for being here. So you went on a little vacation and you're back.
I did. It was wonderful.
And so, Ellen, I don't know if you went to the grand opening when Jennifer had her grand opening recently. I think it was like 4 months ago.
Not this year.
Like 4 months ago, right?
In prior openings.
In prior years, in prior openings, right. And prior events and so forth. Yes, absolutely.
It was a phenomenal event. I could not believe how many people in the community appreciates and loves Seniors Helping Seniors. It's because you do such good work.
Thank you. We were overwhelmed. It was a great turnout.
I was overwhelmed just being there because every room was filled with people. And then when we went outside for the ribbon cutting, I mean, there were a lot of people. Usually you go to some and there's not enough people and you want to be like, they should just pay some people to show up. But this one, I wasn't thinking that at all. So talk to us a little bit about Seniors Helping Seniors and bring us our audience and ourselves up to speed about all the wonderful things you're doing.
So Seniors Helping Seniors started as kind of a mission between my mom and I because we had the need in our own family. And we were looking for flexible care that fit the bill and saw Seniors Helping Seniors. It is a franchise. Fell in love with it. Mom actually said she would give me 3 years. She gave me 6. She retired back in 2018. And we really do hire seniors to go out and help seniors. So it's more of that peer-to-peer support, which is the part that I fell in love with, because it's someone a little closer in age coming in. They're not there to take over. They're not in scrubs. They're not playing on their phones. It's someone who kind of speaks
who
the same language.
They yes. understand because they're going through the same, maybe the same issues.
Exactly.
And they're more tolerant than young people.
Right. We can walk through Publix and take 4 hours. It doesn't matter. You know, we're not trying to rush them through their grocery shopping.
Right. Patience.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm sure Ali could attest to this as well. Yeah. Sometimes you're driving on the road and you see the way some people are honking at the seniors. It's like, dude, we're all going to get there one day.
Right.
Every single human being on the planet right now is going to end up with gray hair and end up in the 80s and 90s.
Hopefully.
If we get to live that long, right?
It
is a gift, right? So talk to us a little bit about the in-home services that Seniors Helping Seniors provides.
So we're a homemaker companion license here in Florida, which means that we can do kind of all the day-to-day things that a senior needs, transportation, like housekeeping, meal preparation. We do a lot of companionship. We work with a lot of folks who have memory loss. And we're not allowed to do the hands-on, so we don't do any bathing, dressing, medication, management type things, but we can do everything else. And just doing that, we're able to keep people at home where they want to be, you know, as independently as possible, as safely as possible. And as I mentioned before we got on the radio, we actually have 5 customers who have been with us for over 10 years, which is amazing. We've been able to keep them at home, just a tiny little bit of help at first, and it's grown over the years, but they're still at home where they want to be.
And if necessary, you can refer them to a nursing agency if they
absolutely.
Need. And you have a lot of referrals. Now, one of the things that I love that you all do is the dementia training.
Yes.
I've been reading a lot. Of course, with nursing, you can't help it. You have to know. I take care of people who have dementia, early onset, already full-blown dementia. And I have to say, the one thing that I notice, the drugs may slow up maybe the progress of dementia or Alzheimer's, but there's nothing like the loving human touch.
Oh, absolutely.
And so talk to us a little bit about the dementia training and who can sign up to get the training and how can they?
So my background, just to back up for a second, my background was in education, and I was in New York, we called it special ed. Down here, it's exceptional education. But I was always with the behavioral kids. So the brain has always fascinated with me, and my first aunt was 49 when she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So at a very, very young age.
On your mother's side?
On my mother's side. So, you know, that was always near and dear to my heart. So,
well, you probably want to know what happened.
Exactly. Yeah. And why. And the behavior of it was fascinating to me, watching her go through those changes. So, you know, fast forward to now, seniors helping seniors. I wanted to be educated and how can we best help? But I also want all of our caregivers to be educated on how best to help. So Tipa Snow, I'm sure you've heard of. I absolutely adore her.
Yeah.
Great teaching style. We have our caregivers go through an 11-hour course of her trainings because we want them to have a good base, you know. And then, of course, we do continuing education after that. But we want them to have a good base. Now, our clients sometimes, you know, we really recommend all of the different resources that we have here in the county, support groups, and there are a lot of free education classes that people can avail themselves of. But sometimes we'll have a client that they just can't get to those things, so I'll put them through our courses.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how you guys feel about this, Ellen, Allie, and Jen, but sometimes, like, I feel like the whole family should get involved when there's a diagnosis. When someone is diagnosed in the home, for example, somebody's diagnosed with PVD or cardiac diagnosis, hypertension, maybe gout, whatever it is, dementia, it's like a process where everyone needs to be on the same page.
Absolutely.
Right? Because you'll have one person going for the training, but others won't, especially if there's multiple siblings for that person. And then you have the infighting, well, who knows best for mom and dad? But it's almost like I wish there was a way that we could do that with families and have all the siblings attend the training. You know,
that would be wonderful.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Unfortunately, the reality that we've seen over the years is that
one ends up doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. One or two, you know, and I'll tell families there sometimes there's a family member who just can't. For whatever reason, they're just not that person. Still give them something to do. They can handle the finances.
Yeah.
Or they can handle, you know, some of the scheduling or other things. They can still be a part of it and not be that direct caregiver. But it's not uncommon to have one that does. You know, you've got one sister that is just tremendous caregiver, yeah, family caregiver, and then one sister who is not at all.
And there's a lot of pushback, too, with families.
Like, it's hard.
I mean, I've seen, like, you know, oh gosh, I've been a nurse forever, 35-plus years. I've seen where, For some reason, some families, once the children move away, that's it.
Oh, yes.
And it's the one who lived close by that has all the pressure as this person ages. So do you have caregiving classes as well for the caregivers who are left? Or can you refer them to caregiver classes?
We refer them out to the caregiver classes because we've got a lot of great resources here in Brevard County. The Center for Family Caregivers, you know, the Caregiver Cafe through Joe's Club, the Brevard Alzheimer's Foundation. There are a lot of great resources. There's also a lot of online resources. So I'll tell them, if you can't go in person, please avail yourself of something online, because then you can do it in the comfort of your own home. It could be 10 o'clock at night when you get home and you have a second. Like I said, I'll even put our clients through our training. Just every little bit helps. The more you know, it makes your life easier too, I think, as a family caregiver. And it takes a lot of the stress, because now you kind of know that that's normal. That's okay. This is what happens.
Yeah. A friend of mine told me they should have, you know how we have a week camp for children in the summer through the church or whatever? They should have a summer camp for caregivers for 1 week.
Mm. A little bit of respite. Give them a break.
Right. And you should do that.
And commiserate.
That'd be great. And let people commit, you know, a couple, maybe $500 or whatever. And they go away on a real camp and have fun for that week. And let that sister or brother who doesn't get involved, let them fly down here and help the old, you know, because people don't need the help. But, you know, in life, they tell us that companionship and socialization, as well as communication, is like the most important things.
It really is.
Right. And as we age, we're watching where our seniors are so lonely and they need this companionship. And that's one of the things that you will give to them.
Absolutely. That is huge. You know, we've got two companies here in the county that do the dementia research. And they will both tell you that 50% of whether or not you get it is your lifestyle. But it's also that socialization piece. We have to keep social. We have to keep communicating with one another. So that's a point that we stress on. You know, yeah. Even if we're just doing a weekly transportation to the grocery store. Well,
that's why Allie comes on with them. Us on Mondays. You enjoy the socialization.
Oh, yes.
It gives you something to look forward
yes.
to.
Yes, it's definitely why I'm here. Get me up and dressed and out. Otherwise, you know, because I'm retired.
Yeah.
And don't need to go anywhere. Thank God for Instacart.
Yeah.
And,
Well, so it's our pleasure to have you, too. Yeah.
Well, thanks.
So, Jen, she just mentioned Instacart. How much presence is social media a life of the elderly now? I mean, we see people that are saying pretty soon AI would be putting people to bed.
Oh, right? And there are a lot of companies that are working on that right yeah. now.
Right. And yeah. so you'll have like a robot with your loved ones to give them a kiss goodnight and walk them to their bed. So do you see a lot of seniors that also need classes or encouragement or a mentor to help them with social media as well, because they can get exploited if they don't know what they're doing?
Oh, absolutely. And that's something we're warning about all the time, because the romance scams on Facebook, on Instagram, and we see more and more seniors on Facebook, and there are problems with it. There are a lot of scams online, so you do have to be really careful, especially those romance scams. And we've one of our policies is seniors helping seniors. If you see something, say something. So we unfortunately have to tattle sometimes because we see what appears to be a scam. We'll report it to the families. But we're constantly trying to make sure everybody knows that when that person hops on and says, "Oh, you're so beautiful, can I be a friend with you?" Just say no. If you don't know that person, don't accept the friend request from them.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, unfortunately, it's if you look through that person's profile, you can see that it was just made about 4 months ago. There's, you know, six to ten pictures on. They're always, you know, they look wonderful.
Stop.
It's lots of puppy dogs and some, you know. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And you know, with people getting older, bolder and wiser, there's a certain segment of seniors who are very bold and they can speak up. But for the majority of people, they're experiencing memory loss or some different disease, and they are lonely. And if someone reaches out to them and say, like you said, "You're beautiful, would you like to go out to eat?" And little by little, before you know it, you're spending money on someone. You're going to the bank with them. And I think you're right. When you say something, say something, right?
And the scammers are getting so much bolder than they ever were.
And because they're using AI, they're using things that would draw you in. Like it goes through your profile. The AI goes through your profile and sees who your kids are and who your family is and where you're from and all of that.
It's so easy
so
to find stuff.
So it does is they bond with this interest thing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, then you get really sucked in. Unfortunately, really smart people get sucked in.
Exactly.
Yeah. Believe me, I play in a band. Everybody knows that. I hear these stories every week, and I'm like, please, let me look at it. Give it to me for a minute.
Let me
see who General Smith is.
I'm glad
and find
you do.
Out why he's calling you from Afghanistan.
Exactly.
Right.
So some of the personal care and daily activities that you help the seniors with from seniors, helping seniors, are like dressing, eating, drinking. You said you don't do baths.
Right, and no dressing.
No dressing, okay.
The licensing is very strict here in
Florida.
Oh, yeah. I think because we have so many seniors
here. So even toilet in,
it's stricter than New York, Pennsylvania, where I'm originally from.
Right. So if someone wanted to volunteer with you, are you accepting volunteers? And do you partner with anyone in Brevard County, Florida, to help with the organization?
So we look for the heart of a volunteer who doesn't mind getting paid. Because, again, we really do hire the seniors. So it's a good part-time job for a senior, maybe to help supplement their Social Security, maybe to give them an extra little bit of fund money. So they do get paid for the services that they do. We are actively looking for people in the Cocoa Beach, Mare Island, Rockledge, Cape Canaveral, those areas. We've been fortunate. We have a lot of people in Melbourne, Palm Bay that have applied and are working with us. We have a great team of caregivers.
Yeah, one of the things I love about seniors helping seniors is the patience and the kindness that you give to our loved ones. So talk to our listeners a little bit about the respite care and specialized care with seniors helping seniors.
So we really try to be very flexible, and we try to meet the need where it is and then grow with that need, you know, if that's needed. Like I said, you know, one of the ladies that has been with us for 10 years, we just started out once a week for a grocery trip run. And that's really all she needed. And as the time has gone on, we have changed things and done things to meet her need. Now, luckily, she lives right down the road from me. So in our last hurricane last year, myself and one of the guys ran over and put her shutters down for her. We've done little things because it's
so you've become
right around
like,
the corner. But
you've become
we
family.
To,
you guys have become their family.
We do.
Yeah,
we do. The caregivers, we try to go out of our way to make sure that they have what they need, especially, you know, in a case of emergency like
now, you do help with meal preparation.
Yes.
You do help and transportation.
Transportation.
So if somebody wanted someone to take them to a doctor's office or something like that can be done.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm thinking providing that person can ambulate.
Right.
Because you don't want to have somebody lifting and then you go into another problem with shoulder pain and back pain. Now, talk to us about the veterans. We always hear about the veterans, but you all do something special for them as well.
Well, we love to hire veterans.
Yeah.
Because that is a great thing. If we're going into a vet's house, it is wonderful to pair them with another vet. So we love to hire veterans. And, you know, we do a lot with the Merritt Island Veterans Memorial Center up
yes.
there. And we do a special transportation package for them. We can't do it for everybody. Just because we don't have the capacity.
Right.
Yeah, to yeah. open up.
Well, you need more people to open up their hearts and join.
Right. So we do that specifically for veterans to try to make their lives a little bit easier. Because transportation is tough here in Brevard County.
Yeah. So you've helped Jen with the walk to end Alzheimer's.
Yes.
I swear that's something that I'm fearful of that because my mother had it too. And, you know, we meet so many people on our show that we can't remember everybody's names and what they do for a living. I know we've kind of, Ellen and I have a thing where we'd be like, yeah, who is this person, right? But so what would you say like here in Brevard when people are so worried about those kind of things? I mean, should they just get involved, read about it, educate themselves? Because I know we've had not just you guys doing the Alzheimer's work, but other nonprofits are doing it as well.
So we really, really recommend that people do educate themselves. I am more excited than I've ever been because we do have a blood test. We do have genetic testing now. We've got the first medication that will help slow the progression of the protein buildup. And there's the next medication is going to help with the tangles. So we are, I really believe that we're on the cusp of
something great.
I really hope so. My mom is actually volunteered to do some of that testing since we've got the two companies here. Mom does volunteer with one of the companies. She's on her third trial. We've learned a lot. And I've even had the blood test now myself.
I took the
test for p-tau because I want to know.
Right. Now, you volunteered, Jennifer Barton, on so much stuff in Brevard. And then one day you had your aha moment and you're like, you know what? I'm going to find my own. I'm going to be the founder of my own nonprofit. So in addition to being the founder of Seniors Helping Seniors, you decided recently to have your own nonprofit. So talk to us a little bit about that.
I'm really excited about it. This is brand new. This is the first time I'm talking about it out in public.
Oh,
so.
Viewpoint with Cita and Friends. We bring great information to our listeners.
I had been involved for years with Brevard County Triad, which was a wonderful organization that did a number of different things. But one of the things that they did was Senior Santa every year. And they adopt people that are seniors who are in skilled nursing facilities. So they go into those facilities. Who is there who has no family, no money, no funds to be able to go out and buy the nicer soaps or to buy a new pair of shoes or a new sweatshirt? They have nothing. They're not going to get anything. Or a visit at Christmas time. So we identify those people. We get at least two wishes. We get them like an angel tree for kids at Christmas time. We do a senior Santa tree and we have a senior Santa packing day and we deliver all of those gifts so that they not only get their essentials, like I said, a new pair of shoes or a new shirt, new pants, but also some goodies in addition to. And it's just always been a really great feel-good
time. Yeah.
And the facilities really look forward to it,
too. And if I may say so myself, Christmas time, a lot of the facilities get a lot of stuff like that, which is really wonderful, and they love it. But you know when I see a need for that as well? Mother's Day and Father's Day. On Mother's Day and Father's Day, and now with Amazon and, you know, all these sites that deliver, it's not even an excuse anymore if someone is living, let's say, in New York or California or Alabama or Kentucky or someplace. I recently said to a guy who called, I said, well, you know, it's Mother's Day and you could send your mom some flowers. And he said, well, I don't live there. I said, well, Amazon.com or 1-800-Flowers. You can do it.
Right.
Because when they get that and they see it's from a loved one, it just brightens up their entire day. You know,
absolutely.
So, Jen, tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, give us your mission statement for whoever's listening out there and are considering getting the information for a loved one.
So, you know, our mission is to keep seniors safe and at home where they want to be. And like I said, we really do hire seniors to go out and help seniors. So it's that compassionate care that we always
and just like the name, right? It's just like the name.
It is exactly what the name says.
Right. And give us your website in case somebody wanted to go and learn about the nonprofit and all the stuff you do, as well as volunteer or maybe need some of your services for a loved one.
So it's seniorshelpingseniors.com/Brevard. And of course, we are on Facebook and all of the social medias, and Senior Santa will be getting out there on all of the social medias as well. We'll be looking for help getting those seniors adopted, because these are the folks that sadly don't have family. There is nobody. They've kind of been dumped there. So
yeah.
And tell everybody about the event that you have coming up at the car show at the museum.
That's Helping Seniors of Brevard County. That's a nonprofit.
Okay.
And they have their annual car show coming up, their annual fundraiser. That helps kind of keep them afloat. They're the folks that do the senior helpline here in Brevard County, so it helps fund that.
So they're a resource of yours?
Yes, they are a resource of ours. Yes.
Right, so for listeners who are tuning in, some of the Seniors Helping Seniors, run by our friend Jennifer Barton, some of the services they offer, like general companionship, light housekeeping. When I say light, I mean light. They're not coming to scrub your floors, and cooking, shopping, transportation to and from events, medication reminders, but not administration.
Correct.
Right? That we have to get that fall prevention, assistance with personal care and more. But you know, Jen, one of the things I like about this is you give us hope for us who are, all of us who are aging, and I hate to say that I'm 60 plus already, Lord, that we can age in place.
Right. That's the goal.
Who doesn't want to age in place?
Exactly. I moved next door to my mom and dad so I can help them do that.
I love you for that. You're such a good daughter. You're like my daughter, Kimberly. She would do that. But, you know, I say to people all the time, being a long-term care nurse, you know, if you take away a person's car keys, the keys to their front door or the digital key, you take away their access to their bank account, you take away the access to their gated property, you take away, you know, their credit cards, that person is reduced to a shell of their former self. And then we wonder why so many of our seniors are on antidepressants and antipsychotic drugs. We have a few minutes left. Talk to us a little bit about the loneliness part of what you see.
Oh, absolutely. Because they're no longer driving, so they're at home. We don't get out and talk to our neighbors like we used to, unfortunately. People aren't stopping by. And it's really difficult. You know, there's in other countries and in other cultures, they don't even have a word for retirement. It's just that they may not be doing what they were doing, but they're doing something else. They're always staying engaged. And that's what we need to do, yeah, too.
Do
we
you
need
feel,
to continuously stay engaged somewhere.
Do you feel like, sadly, here in America and some places around the world, that the seniors, it's just like discarded a bit? Whereas in some cultures, seniors are the counselors, they are the babysitters, they are the backbone of the family.
Yes, absolutely.
And what can we do here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends to spread the word about Seniors Helping Seniors and about bringing the family unit back together?
So I would love to have them check out our website, have them give us a call. But also, I think it's really important for families to remember that our seniors have so much more to give.
Right. And please look into the summer camp 1 week for caregivers. I'm telling you, that will fill up. Even we might be interested in coming.
Another fantastic show here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Jen Barton, thank you so much for coming to Seniors Helping Seniors. Make sure that you check out their website and all of their great information that they do. And if you, if you're ready to volunteer, make sure that you give them a call as well, because we need lots of folks in the north part of the county to make sure that we're taking care of our seniors. Thanks, Jen, again, for coming out. And once again, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, thank you all for tuning in. See you next week here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on 1510 WWBC.